Welcome to program number 4 of the Fall 2020 Lunch and Learn Series, co-sponsored by the UIS Alumni Sage Society and the Illinois State Historical Society. I'm Chuck Schrage with the Office of Advancement. This academic year marks the 50th anniversary of the university. Let's hear from a new member of the UIS family, Interim Chancellor Karen Whitney, who assumed the university's chief executive role this past July. Chancellor?
Hi, I'm Karen Whitney. I'm the Chancellor here at University of Illinois Springfield, and I'm saying welcome to our next Lunch and Learn. Our topic is streaming the future impact of cable news networks and social media. What an important topic in these times, and what a compliment and really a nod to one of what I call our legacy programs, and that's public affairs reporting. Did you know that we have among our UIS alumni, Pulitzer Prize winning alumni, both out of our public affairs reporting program and the English program? I couldn't be more proud as the chancellor at UIS to know that we have people who are making such a difference in the integrity of journalism and reporting in this country. Let's be clear. Good journalism is a keystone of good democracy. And I'm proud that under the whole legacy of Lincoln, that we are advancing our democracy through outstanding reporting and today's topic about cable news networks and the social media.
Today's panel discussion is moderated by Sean Crawford. Sean is director of editorial for NPR Illinois, where he has led news operations since 2009. He previously worked as the State House Bureau Chief for NPR Illinois and other Illinois public radio stations. Sean began his broadcasting career while in high school in Herrin, Illinois. He also spent time in the Joliet area as a news director and operations manager, and also worked in print media. And as you might expect, Sean earned a master's degree in the public affairs reporting program from the University of Illinois at Springfield. Let's turn the program on over to Sean.
Thank you very much, Chuck, and great to have everybody with us today. We're thrilled to have 4 award-winning media professionals with us on our panel, and I'm going to introduce them to you right now. Amanda Vinicky is a correspondent and segment host with WTTW Television in Chicago. Amanda's primary focus is Illinois government and politics, and through as though she has an insatiable curiosity, and I can certainly vouch for that, leads her to cover a little bit of everything there. She joined WTTW in 2017 after spending a decade as the State House Bureau Chief for NPR Illinois, right here, and also the Illinois Public Radio Network. She's also a graduate of the UIS Public Affairs Reporting Program. We also have Randy Eccles. He's the general manager of NPR Illinois, where he led a merger, which added Illinois Issues Magazine, a print publication, and rather the NPR Illinois portfolio, and transitioned its reporting into audio and digital distribution. Randy has previously worked at news outlets in Phoenix and Chicago and also served in management and news stints at student-run stations. He's worked in programming, marketing management, and produced talk shows and sports coverage. We also have Professor Jason Pisha. He's director of the Public Affairs Reporting Program at the University of Illinois Springfield and also a PAR program graduate. Jason came to UIS following a 21-year career at the State Journal Register. He was the newspaper's first ever online editor and digital managing editor, where he directed coverage and oversaw production for both the digital and print editions. And also with us, we have Terry Martin, founding executive director of the Illinois Channel, a nonprofit TV or news organization that's dedicated to covering Illinois state government and statewide public policy issues. Previously, Terry worked at C-SPAN, where he served on the Congressional Coverage Unit. And after coming to Illinois, he covered the Illinois legislature for WAND-TV here in central Illinois. Originally a native of St. Louis, he owned and operated a printing business for 11 years. So welcome, Terry, Jason, Randy, and Amanda.
Thank you.
Well, let's get started here. We're going to talk and try to look a little bit into the future when it comes to the media, but I thought it'd be a good idea to first take a look at the present, where you all get your news from. And Amanda, we'll start with you. What news sources do you trust on a regular basis?
I love, of course, NPR, PBS, and those are my go-tos. There's a reason that I chose to have the bulk of my career in public media, and that is because I am a believer in it. Election night, it had NPR on in the back bedroom when I went that way. And then I had on PBS NewsHour coverage, and I think they did a wonderful job. It was filled with context. So those are my go-tos. That said, I know from doing a lot of pledge drives over the years, people will sometimes say, "You're my only source for news." And that is lovely. I appreciate it. But I would say that that is, you shouldn't really have only one source. There is a whole lot of news out there. So it really depends on what you're looking for. In Springfield, the Illinois Times does wonderful work. In Chicago, we have newsletters, Southside Weekly and Block Club. In addition, of course, to the mainstays, the Chicago Tribune. I subscribe to the Washington Post, and they do wonderful work, be it investigative or recipes. I mean, there is a whole lot of news out there that I trust. For me, really, the key is to do my research. If something sounds fishy, look for another article, ask some questions, and further, know and recognize, and there are a lot of tools, and perhaps we'll get to this later, Pointer even has really like, it's lessons that you can do from home to try to bulk up on media literacy and to try to understand and educate yourself how to separate what is truly fake news. And so go beyond just reading one article. If something seems a little off and you're not seeing it anywhere, educate yourself on that and realize that many a blog is wonderful for information and maybe as a starting off point, but that is a very different thing than a news article, a show, a package that you see on TV that has been researched, vetted, edited. That is a very different thing than just somebody writing however many characters, 240 characters on Twitter. That's a very different thing.
Jason, I'll throw the same question to you. Where do you get your news?
Thanks, Sean. Yeah, I read my hometown paper, the State Journal Register, every morning, still a subscriber after all these years and after working there for so long as well. Then I, you know, mix it up. Trib and sometimes from Chicago to get what's going on around the state. I'm a Washington Post subscriber, so I'm keeping track of what's going on nationally that way. And like Amanda, I listen to NPR as I'm driving to work in the morning. So that's always a part of the media diet. And then, I will put in a plug for, cable news. I know people get excited when you say you're a CNN person or a Fox News person. You can be both. That is allowed. I think one of the big problems we face today in society is just we all sort of live in our little echo chambers where we surround ourselves with our news that we agree with and our opinion makers that we agree with. And it gets difficult, and we follow all the same people on social media, and we really don't know what the other side thinks. It's concerning. I make a practice myself. I'll watch CNN for a few hours and then turn on Fox News for a few hours just to see what the other side, what both sides are saying. And I steer away when I can from the opinion makers on those channels and focus more on the actual news coverage and the news presentation. So, not as much Anderson Cooper and Sean Hannity, but, a little more of what the actual news people are saying. And then, outside of those sort of daily sources, I sort of keep caught up with state government things. Politico has their Illinois playbook, rounds up everything. And then obviously Capital Facts, which has been around forever. Rich Miller does a great job rounding up everything that goes on in the world. So that's where it all comes from.
Terry, same question to you.
I'm sorry, May, did you say?
Yeah, so I'm sorry, go ahead.
I somewhat along the lines of what Amanda said, I think I try to get a whole variety of sources. One of the things I love now is that with the internet and everything, I will plug into France 24. You can have the app on your phone. I think they do an excellent job of covering the world. And I would really fault American media in general for not covering enough of the world. When's the last time we ever heard on American media report out of Africa? France 24 will cover elections in Africa or Asia, and they actually cover American politics as well as any American network. It's kind of the equivalent of the BBC, and they have multi-language sources. So that, certainly I watch Fox News. I find myself watching more Fox Business News as someone who's an investor. When you're reporting on business or when you're discussing business, it makes a huge difference if you report a company made $1.11 a share versus $1.12 a share. You really have to be on target. It's not more or less accurate. You have to be on target. And you get discussions that we tend not to have in regular news of, you know, the impact of tax cuts or various economic issues. So Fox Business News, France 24, Wall Street Journal is good. And, you know, I'm trying to pick up, I haven't settled on one, but with the growing influence out of the Asian segment of the world, to try to follow what's coming out of China, as well as Australia. I think the Australian version of 60 Minutes, I actually prefer now to the current version of CBS's 60 Minutes. So that's pretty much it. Being a TV guy, I tend to watch a lot more television. And then I have a variety of sources. I don't know if they're news, but they're information on YouTube.
And Randy.
You know, it's a lot different than it used to be, where there were, you know, you had a strong local paper and three networks a record. But I found myself looking at the Advantes, sort of, it's a chart that's been put together, and the methodology can be questioned, but it shows whether a news outlet is sort of centrist in their coverage, left or right. And it also shows at the top, high in depth and lower, more opinion oriented. And when I look at that, I try to make sure I have almost everything in my feed that's up in the high depth centrist area. But then I try to make sure I take some of the wild cards from the left and right and have them coming through too, so I can see what's going there. And I also, through my social media feed, I'm looking at what people, acquaintances have that are both left and right in general in what they post, so I can match those up and see what's going on. I like Amanda mentioned, like everybody's mentioned, those are all excellent sources. PBS and NPR, the Wall Street Journal is generally good. Fox's news content is usually good, but as Jason said, their opinion people are what can take it off the rails, just like in MSNBC. So when it comes down to it, it's about media literacy. And that's the tough thing to get everybody on board with. We didn't really have a class in that per se when we were going through high school, but it's how do we digest the news now that the way it's delivered has changed so much. And it is having a diverse amount of sources and knowing that you're trying to pick from different sources and questioning their angle. And so, you know, when I look at the top networks, they're all pretty centrist. I try to take them all in and really enjoy them. But the key is finding good depth stories too when you're trying to understand an issue.
It actually, it feels like a lot of work to be a news consumer these days. I mean, compared to what it was 20, 30 years ago, as you mentioned, Randy, you would get your local paper. That would be the bulk of your news. Maybe it was the Chicago Tribune if you lived in that part of the state, or maybe you received that anyway if you live somewhere else. But at the same time, you got your news from just a few sources. Now it feels like you have to go out of your way to double check everything. I think that's difficult. Jason, I'm going to go to you next. I mentioned hard work of being a news consumer. You know, how did we get to this point? Well, it seems as though, at least in my lifetime, the two big changes I've seen is the rise of online news. And I say that even in a loose way. I mean, because somebody posting on Facebook can be considered disseminating information or even news to some people. And the other is the decline of the traditional newspaper. You've certainly seen that firsthand working in the newspaper industry. I just want to get your thoughts on that, on those changes that we've seen.
Yeah, I mean, it's no secret that you know, the barrier to entry to be a voice in the media has gotten a lot lower, a lot easier. You know, if I wanted to get my views out there or what I cared about, you know, 20 years ago, I needed to be a journalist at a newspaper or have access to someone who could get me on the opinion page of a newspaper. But now, like you said, I can write a tweet or a Facebook post or a TikTok video and get my views out there just as easily. So it has made it more difficult to discern the difference between, you know, fact and fiction, and especially, you know, the circumstances we live in now with, you know, the pandemic and whether people believe it's real or not, or believe it's as serious as it is or not, or believe it's, you know, more serious than the flu. People can get in their little media echo chambers, as I mentioned, and just sort of feast on that all day long and ignore science and facts and all the things we've been frustrated about as news people for the past, you know, going on a year, at least with this issue itself. So it's just a matter, I'm glad Randy brought up the media bias chart. I threw a link to that in the chat if you want to click on it and take a look. But I use that. I'm teaching an undergraduate intro to mass media course this semester. So these students are, you know, juniors and seniors, and they come in with very interesting media diet choices that we have to work with them with and let them know, you know, not everything you're reading is the most highest quality that you could find. So I think it's, you know, in terms of where journalism is heading, I think, you know, we just sort of need to do a better job as mainstream media. I know that term isn't always good to use in public, but of journalists just sort of setting apart, you know, how we vet, how we put together our coverage, and how that compares to what some of the more questionable sites, how they do it. There's a story there to be told. You know, we're trained to do this. We come at it wanting to do it fairly and accurately and responsibly, and some people don't. And I think it's an important story that I think gets lost in all of the yelling about fake news and reporters being enemies of the people, that there's people who are in this to do it the right way and people who are in it to do it the wrong way.
Well, Jason, you mentioned sort of the fall of the gatekeeper, the traditional gatekeeper when it comes to news. Terry, any thoughts on that? Is that a good thing or a bad thing that more people can really be a reporter these days without that traditional backing of working in a big organization?
I think it's more good than bad. Nothing is all good or bad. But I think the fact is that if somebody is out there and reporting something that is demonstrably wrong, then they're not going to have credibility. And what all of us are really trading on is credibility. If you're a credible source, whether you're a solo journalist, Rich Miller is a credible source, I would say, in general. Not that I take 100% of what anyone says. But, you know, you can be part of a large organization or you can be a solo journalist. And I think the fact that we can have, there's so many stories that just are not ever covered, that I think the fact that somebody goes out and covers it is good. And to use my first job, going back to like when I was in high school, was on a weekly newspaper. We look at like the Illinois Times. Now there's, as compared to the daily paper, they're a weekly and they go out and tend to cover stories that I think are some pretty good stories. And they're not the kind of thing that normally falls into what we would see from a mainstream. And you have those alternative papers, as we've seen over the last 40 years in St. Louis and Chicago and here. And I think what we're seeing now is a development of the video version of the alternative newspaper, so that you can have a 1, 2, or 10 people go out and kind of start their own little organization, you know, and they're like everyone else. No one tells you got to watch them. If you want to, you can look at it. And if not, you don't have to.
All right. Well, we've been getting some questions and we hope to have some answers here from our panel. I want to read through a few. And Terry, while I'm with you, I'll just go ahead and ask one. We had somebody write in and ask the site that you were talking about earlier for foreign and domestic news. Can you run through that once again?
Well, France 24 is a great source. They really do an excellent job. In fact, I told my board at the Illinois Channel, we ought to aspire to be like France 24, covering a variety of topics and in a very impartial manner, very professionally produced. So that's one. On YouTube, you can look at the Australian version of 60 Minutes. They do some really fascinating stories. One of the stories that they've covered is the, and that's, I think, people ought to be aware of as an example, the expansion of China militarily into the South Pacific and the tensions of China with the Philippines, with Japan, and with Australia. We never hear that. I tend not to hear that on American journalism at all. So those are two good sources.
Okay. Another question we've received, Amanda, I'm going to let you be the, at least the first to respond to this. Somebody's saying that they've enjoyed WGN America, which is a relatively new operation that started. We all remember the WGN TV news that's been around for quite a long time. This is different. What kind of audience are they getting? You're in Chicago. What are you hearing about it?
A lot of people sort of jump ship from their local organizations because it is based in Chicago and went to work for WGN America. Thus far, I haven't looked at their ratings lately, but not doing oh so hot. I think that there might be a challenge given that it is solely one news show versus, you know, a whole day, particularly as we've been talking about cable news. I think those that really want constant information are tuning into those 24/7 networks versus the news program that is served up. That said, it is still quite early. So I think keep watching, let your friends know if that is something that you're into. Certainly there are a lot of journalists from throughout the country who are those traditional journalists that have the training and can provide you real stories that are vetted, the sort of material that we're talking about that is trustworthy, but thus far not quite taking off as much as I'm sure people that there had hoped, and not as popular as the local WGN broadcasts, which continue to do quite well in Chicago.
Randy, you've got the background with WGN. I don't know if you've had a chance to see this new operation, but any thoughts on it?
I have watched News Nation quite a bit, and they have several hours of news in prime time. I think it's a trend you're going to see with Sinclair here with the News Channel 20, and obviously with Nexstar, who is doing it with based at GN. It's taking all of the stations that they own across the country and using the reporters at those stations as a network to report on stories there. And that could be a positive development to bring us more coverage of places outside the coasts that we don't always hear from. Unfortunately, as Amanda mentioned, Robert Feeder has reported so far, News Nation is not getting ratings at all. And I think the challenge there is, as she said, it's only on part of the day. And it also, it's only on WGN America. So if you don't have that channel on cable, and a lot more people every day are unplugged and only using streaming and things like that, you don't get it. So I don't know what they're going to do. I think they're going to have to consider putting it on the Nexstar stations. That's the ownership group. And consider adding that as a primetime piece. But that goes against their own local news in some of those markets. So it's a good effort. I'd like to see it be successful, but they've got a lot of work to do on marketing.